Hello, you beautiful nerds. Welcome to the Drunk Banthas podcast, where we talk about sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and all the art that we love. Also, we do it drunk.
Mostly.
I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and brother, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing out there in the world? Let us know in the chat. Thank you for joining us live. If you're here, I can't see because I have this mask on. So if you are commenting, I appreciate you.
Yeah, this is one of the first times we usually ask you guys how you're doing, and you can't tell us, but now we're live. So you guys can put it in the live comments. Let us know how you're doing, how you enjoyed these episodes we're talking about today.
Yep, that's right. We do go live now every Monday.
Every Monday. We're being consistent now. We're being responsible. Yeah, as we get drunk.
It's like we had movies. A YouTube baby and now we got to watch it all the time.
and today we are joined by two incredible guests from the Nine Nerd Yards channel. Let's introduce Senor Jefe first. What's up, Jefe, or Jeff in English?
I'm doing well. Hello or hola in Spanish. excited to talk about these two shows.
So cultural.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're being multilingual up in this bitch. Yeah.
Bro, fancy.
And introducing, last but not least, the creator of the Nine Nerd Yards channel, Nine. What is going on? Welcome to the show.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. I wish I would have had my costume ready, but I don't even have a costume yet. So it's coming down to the wire. I was thinking about being Miles, but I guess we can all be Miles and it would make sense.
Not all of us.
Not all of us. I mean, you might want to switch it up.
I might go Peter for some reason.
Yeah, Peter might be a smart choice.
I mean, somewhere out there in the multiverse, there's a white Miles Morales. He's actually like Cuban. Or no, he's Colombian, you know? He's very light-skinned.
Yeah.
So you're saying Blake Morales?
Blake Morales. Blake Morales does make sense, yeah.
Boy, let me tell you something. That fucking thing is hot, dog.
It's a lot. Yeah. How do the superheroes do it? I tell you, baby powder. But
you guys, baby powder does not keep you cold.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess you need to like put some, like maybe chew on some ice packs. Chew on ice packs. Who does that? That's a way you die.
Chew on ice.
I think is what you meant to say.
Superheroes. That's you. If you're a real hero. We got a very exciting show for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking Gen V. We're going to be talking Loki. And as always, we're going to be talking shit. But let's go ahead and get things started with Gen V Episode 5. Welcome to the Monster Club. This show has been ridiculous, just as exciting and unpredictable as The Boys, in my opinion, with just like that little bit of a tweeny flair. You know, it's like if Riverside decided to get real.
Oh, yeah.
Before us boring, you guys hear what we talk about. You guys hear our opinions all the time. We got guests on. Jeff, what did you think of this new episode of Gen V? How are you liking the show so far? Because we didn't have you on last week to talk.
I jumped on a little late. I watched all five episodes today. Ooh. Which took some time, but I'm liking it. I'm liking the show in general, and I liked this episode a lot. I agree with you. It's interesting because it's clearly The Boys, except they try toning it back just a little bit. Like little things, like just like, hey, we've only seen one dick in this show. Five episodes into The Boys, it's like, you got a good baker's dozen going. And like they do capture what I think it's like to just be in college in general. Like all the kids are just fucking each other.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah. Right? It does feel like college with superheroes, you know? And it's just like, all right, good. And I'll say like it's, I'm glad I like this because same thing with The Boys. I hate The Boys comic. I have tried reading it a few times.
I don't think that's controversial at all.
Misogynistic and fucked up comic, man. Like I haven't gotten past issue three. It's just so fucked up. And so like the boys show, I'm glad that this show is still entertaining without being, you know, just disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before I go on, Nine, what do you think about the series so far?
So hold on, man. The series so far, absolutely love it. Actually, I would say that, you know, it doesn't have like all of the intensity of the boys, but it doesn't really need to. It's got that exactly what Jeff said. It's got that like flair. It's a very good. It's got all of the perfect allegories for like college drama. And it does it so much better than like, let's say like the Gossip Girl reboot or something, you know, like all of these things that, you know, corny teen shows, that try to portray like teenage drama, college drama. It actually does it a lot better with their themes. And, I really do like it.
Hells yeah.
Yeah. It's even though it, yeah, like we've mentioned this last week, but as much as it feels like a show that's in the boys universe, it definitely focuses more on that young adult lifestyle, like where, you know, you're making really bad decisions and you're having sex with anybody just because it's like, well, they're attractive, I'm attractive, we're gonna fuck, right? But that's what we do. pandas in a zoo, like we're just gonna mate because we're here.
Well, maybe if the pandas would, they want to be endangered.
Yeah. It's more like dolphins. Dolphins are like the only other animal that fucks for fun on the planet other than us. So it's more dolphins. Don't be disrespectful.
What two animals having sex together would you compare this show to? Guys, leave it in the comments. I'm thinking. And just speaking on this episode, Bill, how did you feel about episode 5? Like, you know, this is the aftermath of everybody getting their mind wiped. And it's kind of just plays off as like, oh, just like a crazy night. Oh, man, I guess I drank too much. But it gets a little bit more insidious as it moves along. How'd you feel about
that? Well, it felt like it was slow as fuck at the beginning. Mm. The first three episodes were paced really, really good. This is the fourth one, right?
Fifth one.
Well, the first four episodes were paced really well. This one, to me, the beginning started out too slow. Mm. Like, if we're gonna get to where we ended up, we needed to pick that up. We could have just picked that up a little quicker because it wasn't like some big reveal. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like y'all saw the reveal coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the once they talked to old dude and he was like very shocked as what the fuck was going on, I was like, oh, is the only other memory person in the goddamn show? It must be her.
Right. Yeah. I just thought it was her. But I did like, I actually did like the beginning. And to your point, like about it, the first four being paced really well, I feel like it's, you know, we're supposed to get that little bit of downtime. With these characters, you know, because of how much stuff that they packed into their first four episodes, they just kind of needed to chill out, maybe save a little bit on the budget by bringing in those puppets, you know. Yeah. You know
what I mean? That was probably my favorite part of this episode.
Oof, and just disagree. Like landing that aesthetic of like the college party, Alex, what you're talking about. With them just all like waking up, like, look at this place, and they're all kind of like all fucked up the day after in their own special ways. And I just loved how we get what's her name again? I'm not actually
Emma.
Names Emma. On the show. Emma.
Yeah, but what's her hero? Cricket. Name? Cricket.
Cricket. Cricket. Right. Yeah. So Cricket, when she became a giant girl.
Not easy if you're a fan of Always Sunny, though, huh? It's a very different cricket in that show.
Oh, right.
Oh, you know what? If this cricket was living life like this, he'd be the best cricket ever.
Oh, yeah.
This is.
But Nan, I also agree with you about the slower start. I also think part of the slower start to the episode is like
as we could keep.
I mean, it's a bunch of kids who
this whole fucking morning
basically were mind wiped. So like going through what their day is a slower start as well. You
fucking
know?
Saturday.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a Sunday afternoon hangover.
Yeah.
Which I think they conveyed that style. I mean that tone accurately, but I can see how like it could be very slow pacing wise. The whole time I was just thinking, like, wait, why is she acting so weird? Y'all have already had sex before. Like, this isn't the isn't the time that y'all. Marie and Jordan.
Like, you know they had it.
No, they hadn't had. They only kissed. They only made out.
Oh, okay. Right. I thought they had sex.
Emma interrupted them before they could have sex. There's a lot fucking going on here.
Alex, but also they don't even remember that because that also.
Alex, what confused me was they didn't know Sam at all. Like, because remember at the end of last episode they just like all pass out. Mm-hmm. In this episode they wake up from the pass out. But they retroactively have lost time too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was the part. Yeah. Actually, speaking to that, that was the part that I was like, oh, they don't know Sam. Then something really bawdy is happening.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to play like this TikTok, all of them partying.
This was a good way of showing stuff.
Actually, we'll probably get
also fuck that guy.
with that music.
Yeah, with that music.
TikTok actually comes out first for that one.
You're saving my ears, sir, and I appreciate you. I didn't want to hear that shit.
Just imagine a bunch of kids having a good time. Oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah, it's
nice royalty-free.
Royalty free ass grabbing.
Old girl does have a big booty. She was over there grabbing on a big old booty.
How great is that? Her drinking out of the keg like it's a can.
I thought that was a good time. I was like, okay, yeah, let's see these superheroes like party as college kids.
I do agree, Jeff, that this was a good way to do this. It was a way to do some exposition, sex position without sex positions and exposition.
The absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence. Show's
pretty cool.
Yes, they deserve to die. The whole thing burn in hell. We could just say movie quotes to get through the rest of this entire project, and it'll still make sense somehow. I promise you.
Jeff, you were about to say something.
I don't know. I was gonna say, I think the show, both the boys and this one in general, they're really good at getting a point across without doing it in just the tropey way, you know, like, oh man, what happened? And then like showing one of them like look off to the side and squint and like little bits of memory flashing through. That would be like the typical way of doing it. Whereas, yeah, it's modern days. They're in college. Someone caught it on Insta or on TikTok or something, you know?
Right. And then the fact that they all just like blacked out and they kind of like, you know, it's almost like The Hangover movie,
right.
And they're just trying to piece things together. It could have been definitely like a little bit more well executed with their like coming to realization of what happened, but I still thought it was like really fun and just again leaning into that trope of like just college kids. All right, you know, I could see all of the character works, like she has to purge, or like she's, you know, bulimic or whatever. And then she cuts herself.
Again, I don't know if you can actually call her bulimic or the other one a cutter.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing that's about the reason.
It's an allegory.
Oh, 100%.
It's the allegory, right?
100%,
like,
yeah.
Again, like the, you know, the other chick, Jordan, is trans. It's like a trans allegory or whatever. Right.
But this is a way to do all of that without pushing it on people or making it like fucking placating and fucking weird. This is how you do it. You just
painting it with the boy's brush.
Yeah.
Right. And actually, I disagree with the boy's brush here. This is a completely different show to me. I think it's a different show because The Boys is a show based on how adult superheroes are dickheads. And how reckless they are with their powers, and how they really don't give a fuck about nobody or nothing else except themselves. These guys, these kids, they got hope. They want to be heroes. They actually want to save people. Mm-hmm. And in this show, so far, it's about like them trying to help someone. We never see that in The Boys from the superheroes. And we never see it from The Boys. They're just trying to murder all the superheroes that they come into contact with. So I think it's a very different show in that way. And but, you know, we get the gross stuff, the violence. And I guess that's what you're probably referring to when you say The Boys. But I mean, speaking of gross stuff.
Universe brush.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, 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 yeah. But speaking of gross stuff, we just gonna blow on past the splooge scene.
The blowhole scene.
The blowhole. Yeah, what is he, whale girl?
I guess.
Yeah,
that's a fucked up power.
Well, look who it is.
Producer T.
Clone himself.
Hey, careful.
Welcome, sir.
Talking in The Boys universe, he might actually be a clone.
What's up, man? I feel like it's been forever. How you doing?
You're doing muty.
He's muty. Here's a nice blowhole for you guys to look at.
Welcome to the really show, Producer T.
Played much of that.
No.
Yeah. No. But I mean,
Terry, you're still muted, brother.
How he can make that thing wiggle, wiggle.
wiggle, wiggle.
Let's see here.
By the way, his hand wiggling and all that, tell you what, makes the what's that Tim Allen superhero movie, Zoom?
Uh-huh.
Gives that one a whole new background, huh?
Wow. That might be the first time anyone's talked about that movie since it came out.
This was like so interesting. I was like, oh, what is this right here?
What is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Who were they?
It was just like dripping on them. And that's her.
Oh, no. First thing me and Alex said is that semen. And before they even showed the
right,
yeah, before like, they showed the ceiling, we said
it's not semen.
Which yeah, we're wrong.
Yuck. Just a big old yuck.
Absolutely. It's disgusting. But it was hilarious and a great way to open up this scene. I mean, open up this episode. But
Terry, are you vocal yet? Nope.
Nope.
The answer is no. Yeah, that's a weird superpower you got there, Terry.
So, but let's just blow on past. Get it? Blow on past. Let's go ahead and blow on. Excuse me. Blow on past the weird, gross, and college dorm scene.
Okay.
We do get
a party house.
What's his name? Is Roy? Was it Roy?
Rufus. Yes.
Rufus the doofus. See, I knew it wasn't. they think it's Rufus at first, and I knew it wasn't Rufus because Rufus had to have you sit next to him so he can use his powers. He basically explained that when he's talking to Marie the first time. He makes her sit next to him, and then she wakes up in his bed, and she blows up his dick. Which I don't think it happened. I don't know if that actually happened now.
It did.
Because how is he walking around with just a half a dick? He just got half a dick now.
He's just, he seems that's crazy. Pretty cool. He I'll should be like Reek from Game of Thrones. Like he right. should just
right. be, he's
like,
be walking around like this.
Yeah, like he's out partying and shit. Like what?
Right.
I mean, I'm very willing to bet the school nurse at a superhero college is a soup.
Yeah,
I'll bet they've got some absolute.
That would be
or he's got super power. Nuts and super dicks because he did like what's her name? The blonde girl.
Seen that before.
The blonde girl did like tell him to go hit himself in the nuts with a baseball bat.
And Jumanji.
Yeah.
So and then he just made it through that. Like he just powered through that.
And now knowing that you know he had sexually assaulted her, before it actually adds you weight to that scene.
I don't know if that's, I don't think that that's true. I think she said that.
Everything that she says is very up to,
I don't believe that,
very suspect now.
I think it's true.
I also think it's true.
She was trying to get him off of her.
Now, we do, we believe women here at the Drunk Panthers podcast. Right. But Kate is a very treacherous individual.
Well, I mean, honestly, the big reason is, I mean, in regular college, there's scumbag guys that will do things like that. Superhero college, it's absolutely happening.
You know, I actually just came to that realization that that's the reason why his name is Rufus.
Right.
He's a roofie guy.
Yeah, but this is the thing.
He's more likely to end up on the floor.
Why would you believe her? Why would you believe her when she's literally getting paid? Her job at the school is to misdirect these people away from everything. No. So that's why I don't believe her.
I believe her because we've already seen him try to do that so many other times.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't think I'm like you're moving past the fact that I already said I don't think that that happened, because how is he walking around without a blown up dick? He didn't even mention it, and when they went and beat him up, he acted like he didn't know what the fuck they were talking about with that too. So I'm just saying that hasn't actually been directly correlated with anyone yet.
Well, okay. Does she have the ability to implant memories too?
She can implant a thought in your head for sure, because she can tell you, like, you're having a great day, and she can push you into that.
So the reason why I believe her is because she's an idealist. She's not doing this for the money. She thinks she's saving them. The dean has her convinced that by like doing this and by keeping them in the dark, she's actually saving them and she's protecting them. The girl's an idealist. That's why I think.
Well, okay. Guys, put it in the comments. Do you guys think Kate was lying? I mean, she lies the whole show, but is she lying about this? Or is she telling the truth? And then like later on, we do. Oh, yeah. Are you going to play the scene real quick?
Oh, I was just putting it up. But yeah, I could play this. Oh. Just let me see.
I just want to see your cute face.
And say what? He had me on camera consenting. It doesn't matter. I don't even remember it. So,
I don't believe this shit, because she could have just touched him and made him fucking tell what he said, or just, fucking make him lie about it. Like, even if it didn't happen, she could just make him lie about it. Like, I don't believe that shit. That's a lie.
Well, do you believe that he ever did it?
To somebody else? Yeah, sure. But I'm not talking about...
Right.
I'm not talking about the realm of possibility. I'm talking about the evidence they have provided us.
Right.
And I'm talking about...
It's up for debate if
she can touch her friends and make them forget for
this,
what is maybe protection, but you don't think she would touch a dude who just raped her and make him do violent, terrible things to himself?
This is also her freshman year. She doesn't really have control of her powers and stuff. I mean,
but she made Rufus go kick himself in the hit himself.
She's a senior now.
I'm just saying she made him hit himself in the nuts with a bat. You'd think she wouldn't have just been like,
I'm saying when this happened was 4 years ago. I'm saying I don't think she had as much strength and control back then. And I think that she was just naive. I think that just being a freshman girl in college also played into a lot of it.
She has definitely turned into one of the more interesting characters, just like even beyond her like being a kind of a supervillain. But what did you guys think of just like sort of the reveal that that she was the villain, that she had been lying the whole time? We kind of get hints of it, like of what's going on. Marie finds the tracker in her shoulder. What did you think of that kind of reveal?
I liked it. I think it makes sense story wise. I think it's kind of a natural progression, but I still think they did it in a good way. I think the way that they had her kind of like reveal it was pretty much just a smart way of like, oh yeah, she's the bad guy. And I think it's how it would have played out in this actual universe, you know?
Right.
Well, the reason I knew, so what gave it away for me that she was the bad guy was everybody was scratching themselves throughout the episode.
Like Tyrone Biggs.
I noticed it like way early, and I was like, yo, why is Jordan like scratching the fuck out? Like, yeah, why these
right before, yeah, right before she actually noticed something was wrong, you actually said out loud, I was like, why is she scratching like
that? No, I said, why is everybody, I was like, why is everybody scratching like that? And then she goes, why are you scratching yourself like Tyrone Biggums? And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, damn. I was like, yeah, why are you scratching solid yourself reference. Like Tyrone Biggums?
Solid reference.
Because she was.
I kind of like called it in like the third episode. Here, let me do this.
I'm so, so sorry. I really wish it didn't have to be like this. It's you.
Bye-bye.
Why would you just keep your hand there as you realize that this bitch is the bad person? I'm gonna just keep my hand there.
Yeah, for drama.
Right. As soon as this bitch got a knife in her pocket all the time.
Over with.
She got a knife in her pocket all the time.
What episode is this?
Five.
Episode there it
five.
Is.
Harry.
I am fresh out the tank. I have not been watching the show at all. It's due to me going to Japan and them switching over my Amazon account. And so now it only works over there. And I had to like make a new one here and I haven't started paying for it. And I was like, oh man, I gotta pay for two Amazon accounts.
That is like baller problems, man.
Producer T's got two baller countries baller. Worth of first world problems. Problems going on.
Yes. So what, Jeff? And you've read the comics, right?
I read the first three issues. I couldn't keep going.
Oh, okay. Well, damn. Because what this is giving me is there's a team in the Boys universe. You know how there's the Seven? Mm-hmm. Well, there's like other teams like that based on all the other superhero teams involved in DC. And one team that's based on the X-Men is called the G-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different, just like with the regular that. X-Men, there's like X-Force, X-This. So there's like G-This, G-That. And to right after to get to the G-Men or one of the other G-Teams, you go through a program called G-Wiz. And it's basically just college.
Yeah,
right. All college age superheroes just like this, and they're placing and they all live like sororities and fraternities. And this, like, what I'm seeing, I was like, oh, this looks like a G-Wiz story, like, it's based on these guys, and they're terrible people. Well, they're terrible, they're college kids, and you gave them super fucking powers. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the entire point of the Boys, the reason the author made it was because, and his whole thing was like, in the real world,
if
you had superpowers, people with superpowers would be the worst people on earth.
There'd be terrible. There'd be a couple good ones, but most of them would be crazy egomaniacs.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is what this is giving me. So have they revealed the big boss yet? Like, have they said the name Godokin?
No, not revealed the big boss yet.
Thing is, in this universe, we already really know who the big boss is, right? We know who really is Vought is running everything. So the questions that we haven't had answered yet thus far is what are they doing exactly in the woods? Well, and today in this episode, we got a little taste of that. We know that they're building a virus, but like, how do they plan on using this? How do they plan? You know, what
they explained it.
No, I'm saying how this show.
No,
okay, yeah, you explain. They explain what the virus does,
okay.
But they
I see
how they plan on tell them take this virus and then
you'll do it Batman Begins style. You're gonna put it in the Waterman,
right? Yeah, you know.
Well, it's
differently than the comic. Like, they're doing a virus. Like, what's going on?
It's a college where they're letting kids go in to become superheroes. How much money you want to bet? Like, all right, it's step up for your, Oh. There is a comic book like that though. How much it's, vaccinations.
Probably.
I'll bet you they play the vaccination card. Like, all right, hey, we got to vaccinate you in case,
I don't think
you got to go do a super trip.
I think that would be political.
But what I'm saying is like, they would try something along the lines of just a normal thing you would expect if you were to get a job like this, or like, if you think like, hey, I might be going to somewhere where there's malaria, I got to get, you know, some malaria shots and stuff like that. I think that's the way they would do it. Or it would just be like, like when you're signing up for sports when you're in college and or in high school, and it's like, hey, you got to get a checkup, and part of your checkup is just getting a flu shot, boop, you know, like that. But they also said in this, the virus, it doesn't kill them, it controls them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to get a little bit of a, like, I think he's saying they can control them by, like, hey, if they act up, we can just hit a button and then they will die, like what happened in the comic books. They had a they had the ability to suicide squad? Yeah, they basically had the ability to pop their heads, which is what they used that in the last season.
The senator.
Right. Well, the senator has the same name as the vice president in the comics. And so she's probably going to end up being the president after they kill the president now. And so she's the head popper. Weird, but the head popper in... Right, yeah, it's Veep. Yeah, exactly. But the head popper in the comics is an actual like virus thing that they is some kind of biological weapon they put inside all of the. I think the Gen the is it the V? I think the V itself has like a some kind of sonic mechanism in there, and it transmits a signal, and they can just pop some kind of boop. And so I think we're getting a little bit of that and zombie soups, because when characters, when the supers die in the comic, they don't die. They just fucking turn into like this weird.
Well, what? No, they animated. They die, but they pump them up with more V. Like if you just keep pumping somebody up with V, you can bring them back essentially from the dead.
But kind of like in Invincible. They're a mindless avatar of a superhero who's like.
They qualify for a handicap pass when they get
right. Exactly.
Well, it's like Invincible when the heroes die, they can basically like with robotics bring them back, and they're just super zombies.
We can rebuild him. He will be horrified.
Yeah, you
get technology. We gotta go before we move on, because we're gonna move on to Loki. But I just want to talk about the scene. What y'all think about the puppet scene? What did y'all think about the puppet scene?
Kind of took me out of it.
Oh no!
Yeah, man. you were hard no on the puppet scene. What about it? Did you not like?
I get what they were doing with it. I get that it's kind of like in the Rob Zombie Halloween 2, where it's like, I get it. The reason his mom and a horse are following around is to show me he's crazy. But like, okay, I already knew he was crazy.
Right. I mean, they kind of established a cartoony world like this when they did the whole Black Noir. Which and I am still kind of disappointed last episode. With what they did with him, you know, versus the comic book.
Dude, the comics is so much better.
They don't even talk about him in the book. It's just like when they finally fucking talk about him, you're like, oh, I get it now. It all makes sense. So when they did that, I was just like, I have no clue where this show's going to go now.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I have no clue.
I thought this shit was genius. Me and Alex sat around here laughing so goddamn hard. We played this whole scene over again. I was like, what in the fuck? And we were like watching it like about... Maybe
were you a fan of the Happy Time Murders?
I never saw the Happy Time Murders. I really wanted to. But this did remind me of the puppet episode of Angel for some reason. Where I was just like, okay, I really dig this. I see what they're doing with, like, this is what's really happening. And yeah, it didn't really take me out. Like, it reminded me a lot of the Black Noir episode.
The brain in the puppet is just
right. Like, we're just seeing what the character sees and what's like it likes to be him.
Yeah. I'm a single dad with two daughters.
I did like that. All the spurting blood was just red glitter.
Yeah.
That part I like.
It's a good way of showing, like, because obviously all this stuff is horrifying, especially the guy saying that he's a single dad with two daughters. Like, that's really sad.
Alien. I loved it, because we were watching it and I was like, yo, I bet you this is really happening. I think we've jumped into reality, into fucking fantasy, and man, it was awesome. It was like, it was awesome. Rad. And it's a
great, so I wonder if they're going to bring about the G-Men, because that's a...
Well, the reason I thought it was ingenious is because I always think about it from like a director point of view or a producer point of view first. And you will get a job. You will get another job making episodes like that if you direct episodes like that. Because you just saved the studio so much fucking money. And it was creative. And, you know, people, you know, going to jive with it. Oh, man. You're getting another job. And that's what it's about.
While I 100% agree with that take, I think a part of it was also like, hey, these are like, yeah, it's just, it's the boys, the universe, but these are still kids. Let's maybe tone down the gratuitous violence somewhat. You know?
Also, this guy hasn't been. This guy don't even know what TikTok is. You know, no telling how long. There's no telling how long this dude's been imprisoned. You know, so
yeah, Sesame
so
Street, he
at least 3 years.
The last thing he probably saw was Sesame Street.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of his baseline.
I think it was the last episode. You know, he was hallucinating the TV.
Yeah, right. Yeah, with the with special the, guest
with Sesame Street.
Mr. Ritter
with TV's Ritter.
Before we move on to Loki, you guys got any final thoughts? Nine, you got any final thoughts on this episode of Jim V?
Not really. I'm just excited to see what happens next. I did like the little song at the end. I thought it was just like really well done for them to just like use this one. Let's see here.
I put a spell on you.
I was just like, oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, really well done. And that actress is really acting her ass off.
Doing
a lot with the little, like, you don't have to hear her say a bunch of exposition.
She is doing the crying white girl thing so hard.
Yeah, put her in a Blumhouse horror movie.
I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion.
Now don't compare it to my Annie Hathaway's.
And when she's, but you know, when the cops rush in and then she starts,
oh yes, yeah,
yeah, she's doing that pretty well.
I do not. I know this is not popular, but I don't like this actress, this character. Haven't gotten into it. This didn't do nothing for me. Her shit ain't doing nothing for me. I was actually mad that she wasn't gonna die. I could tell she had plot
she
armor. Will.
She's going
Well, she's not going to for a very long time, sir.
She's going to at the end of this. She's going to at the end of season one. She'll be the one who she'll use her powers to save them, and it'll happen while she's dying.
I hope
she's gonna pull a Darth Vader. She's gonna.
This is my
Think the love interest from the end of the Wolverine, or not the Wolverine from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. I agree, Nine. I'm interested to see what happens with Emma going forward here.
I think she's going to end up on the top 10.
But now we're about to talk into, we're about to go into what I'm, my favorite show on TV right at this very moment.
Yeah, Loki season two.
So I got one last thing to say about Gen V before we go. Mm-hmm. And it's just one thing I like about, not necessarily this episode, but the series in general so far, I think they do a good job of showing us why people in this universe still love heroes. Because we just see it from the boys' side. We don't see it from like the random person on the street side. So we're sitting there like, why the fuck are they still worshiping Homelander and Maeve and all them? You know, like, are you insane? With the college kids and seeing it through their eyes, I think it's a good way of being like, all right, yeah, no wonder the general public loves Suits.
Right. Yeah.
I think they do a good job of that.
My opinion on that is also, it's like, because they have comic books, just like we have our comic books and we read how the superheroes are. They also have that in their world, and it's about their actual superheroes. So, you know, they never see, it's all about, because you know, the biggest arm of Vault is their
entertainment
PR team. Their PR team is like the masters of the whole company.
Right. Yeah. Because
they're the ones that make the most money for everybody.
Shit. What's her face is the new CEO now.
Yeah.
The old PR girl.
I don't know. Right. I'm kind of upset that they didn't make, you know, the main bot dude that average white guy again, like in the comic book.
he is
so fucking terrifying. And it's just, what does he do? He's just an average white dude. And I was like, that is still the scariest motherfucker out there. It's just,
but yeah, that's what Giancarlo's role is. That's who Giancarlo is. So
Yeah, but he's a minority, so I kind of cheer for him a lot of times. That wall, he's supposed to be the villain. I'm still kind of like, yeah, you get him. You talk to that white man like that. You know, but when it's like the other, it was just the white dude, I was like, he's terrifying. He's not even scared of Homelander. Like, my favorite scene is when Homelander's talking to him, threatening him, and he like reads his heart, and he's like, dude, you're not scared at all. And he's like, no, I ain't scared of you.
But yeah. No power. But yeah, now we're moving into Loki season 2, episode 2, Breaking Bad. Speaking of Giancarlo Esposito, we are Breaking Bad over in the Disney universe. Kind of bold to name your episode Breaking Bad, but whatever. It's kind of like naming your episode Star Trek.
You're being so disrespectful to Star Trek right now.
You cannot, why not call it Planet Trek?
There are a lot of people, single star. There are a lot of people who are going to like come at your head after this. You just start compared Star Trek to Breaking Bad.
I'm just talking about
get shows. Out of here.
I'm just talking about shows.
We can dig it,
but you know, hey, hey, I'm not calling myself Shaft, but yeah, since producer T, since you're you know, you're coming in here hot, what did you think of episode 2 of season 2? Are you liking the season so far?
I am actually only here for Rick and Morty. That's the only
which producer T is perfect. I haven't watched. I don't watch Rick and Morty. So
yeah, well, I'm here to take Jeff's place for the Rick and Morty.
So it's perfect because they didn't. They didn't watch Rick and Morty. So here we go on. Go keep 9.
Same question.
What was the question though?
How did you feel about episode 2 and how are you liking the season so far?
Oh yeah, episode 2 was pretty cool. I think it's like so well directed, I think. Again, yes, like, these motherfuckers are stars, you know what I mean? Yes, we actually got some motherfuckers acting their asses off, and also the direction and settings are just really cool. Timey-wimey shit just kind of gets me like this. yeah, I mean, what's not to like about it? I really do hope that we get a bit more Kang stuff, some Miss Minute stuff. I want to get Renslayer. We didn't get that in those episodes, in the first 2 episodes. But all of the concepts that they've introduced so far are very cool, I believe.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like he had mentioned after we watched the first episode.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh. like,
he was like, "Why is this just so much better than just other shows?"
Oh no, yeah. Like, so y'all weren't here, and maybe for the people, for the viewers who had it, who weren't here last week, we were watching it, and I was like, "Alex, I've been telling you all the time, man. This one is better than everything else. But why?" Mm-hmm. Why? And the answer is the director. The answer is the actor, the talent. I mean, the other answer is they've always known what they've wanted to do with this show. So they've been written differently than the ones before and some after. This is including Star Wars shows, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was written to be episodic, unlike the other ones that have been written to be more like movies.
Yeah, it's yeah, for sure. Like we've actually recently realized that they don't even like make pilots or anything like that for Marvel shows, like your normal language of making movies, which is kind of a quality control thing that we're now starting to realize.
Right.
But Jeff, how did you feel about like, you know, season this second season of Loki? Are you liking the acting? You liking where the story's going?
Loving all of it. I think it's, I mean, the show in general is already just a lot of fun. It's picking up off of its momentum from season 1 in a good way. It's still letting us, it's still getting into season 2, but it hasn't like lost the stakes from season 1, or like from the, what's it called? The fallout from the end of season 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm liking that. And when we all mentioned how great the directing is on this, I mean, like, I just looked up the director of episode 2, and I mean, like, this is the dude that he's got directing credits for Endgame, Ant-Man and Quantumania, The Mask, Skeleton Key, The Rock. I mean, this dude, Armageddon, Bicentennial Man, like, dude's a fucking director.
Yeah, sounds like a journeyman. Yeah,
this director fucks. Right.
Wait, who is it?
Dan Deleu, D E L E E U W. Dan Deleu.
Skeleton Key, low key fucks.
I just rewatched it, I should say, the other day, because it's on my horror movie list, and fuck, that's a good movie.
Yeah, right,
dude. I forgot how good that was. I'm also starting to realize that, like, hoodoo voodoo horror movies, they fucking slap.
Yeah,
they're good horror movies.
Bayou, yeah, like there's some good, there's some good ones out
Serpent
there.
In the Rainbow, yeah, man.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, check it out.
All right.
Well, actually, Candyman too. That was in the Bayou.
Candyman. Oh yeah, Candyman too. Okay, I was about to say Candyman is in Chicago.
The sequel.
No, for sure.
Two is.
I also heard Candyman. Yeah, I don't know
why. Yeah, because we have said his name too many times, y'all.
Guys, we've said it four. One more, one more, and one of us is interviewing Tony Todd in an awkward way. I
to say it the certain amount of times. I'm not going to say the name. Yeah, because I live in Chicago.
I'm about to say you're in Chicago.
Y'all keep putting me in David
Green. Nine's about to be hanging out with Tony Todd. Not the way he looks.
Alone.
You're not going to be for long.
But in this episode, yeah, Loki, Mobius, and Hunter B-15 find and capture Hunter X-5 in London.
I think you mean Bradley.
Oh, sorry, Brad Wolf. Bradley, which is like, I guess, Brad Pitt and Scott Wolf mixed together.
It's Brad Pitt's career. Grandfather.
I gotta
Brad
say,
his big grandfather. Oh yes,
of course. Yeah, don't forget the time period that we're in.
That scene we got right there, I absolutely loved. I love that they showed Loki's illusion magic so well and so strong. Because, like, usually when you think of magic, you're like, oh, throw a ball of fire or a lightning bolt. Right. Like, you don't think about how illusions can really, really fuck with someone and win the day. I thought they did a good job. And, like, yeah, Loki definitely is a magical guy. And, like, we haven't seen it in a while. So I'm glad they brought it back.
Yes, so, I agree. Totally.
New mic. Did you get a new mic just recently?
Yeah, Prime Day. I got a new mic, headset. I got this arm.
Oh shit.
And a ring light. Yeah.
Is this the first time you're using it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I was gonna say fantastic.
I was gonna say, first of all, you sound fantastic. Really, I was gonna say something too, Nan, but I was gonna wait till after the show. But since we're talking about it, wait, you sound fantastic, and I like the little arm you got. You got the little arm holding, you know, you got a boom mic over there. I love that shit, man.
I'm taking the cast seriously. I wanna start doing some more for it, and I gotta have the right equipment.
But look, let me tell you what you gotta do. Whenever you think of real hard. You really want to just you want
tell,
to,
if you tell me what I do.
If you forget what you're talking about, you just grab.
Yeah, that's the Joe Budden approach. Just adjust it.
Act like
I want to talk about.
Act like it's really like loose and shit. Just tighten it. There you go. That's what you do.
Just get it all together, right?
Very important
when you
exactly.
You talk, but you keep talking and you just talk. Or just the phone, just like
you know, just in case. I'm just wondering if.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What's going on over
pontification?
I did really like this storyline of them.
How did you feel about it? I didn't nobody ask you how you feel.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I did like this storyline where Mobius and Loki are chasing down X5, who I did not like his acting in the first episode as like the hard man, but I did like his acting hard as man. This character.
The hard man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was just like
that was wild.
Everything has to do with dicks.
I'm just that was just wild. I've never even heard that before. I mean, I've never heard
We're
that.
We're not
before.
Talking man, about was... Gen V anymore. We don't even talk about the hard stuff.
Yeah, it was just wild. Sorry. I apologize.
But Nine, like, yeah, how did you feel about just like this interrogation scene? Because I thought that he was kind of acting his ass off.
I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if I do like him.
The person or the actor?
Yes.
Yeah. The actor. Yeah, I'm not sure if I. I mean,
the person I love
isn't that
the person? He's great.
I have no thoughts about his character. At all. I'm going to just judge him on. Actually, it's just his character. I'm pretty sure he kills it as an actor or whatever.
He's a nice person,
good or whatever. But maybe I just thought his role was his role is kind of weird here. And you know, I would have liked it if they were like more tailing someone that was like had a direct connection to Renslayer, or even like tailing Renslayer herself, and we got glimpses of her, and they're trying to figure out something. But you know, I understand this scene so much, and I think that it is pretty cool. Like, good cop, bad cop, let's do it. Yeah.
Jeff, how did you feel about this herbicide?
Well, as a person, I think he's a piece of shit. No, episode call. Overall, I really liked. I'll say like the interview, the interrogation and all that. It seemed a little weird to me that he was this different of, like, to the point where my first watch through, I think I was halfway through the episode before I was like, oh, that's the same fucking guy.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, hold on.
What really helped, and it wasn't until my third watch through when I was thinking about Sylvie and how different she was. And it's like, she's been gone like 2 minutes. And I was like, oh, right. She went back, but then like she might have been there for years by now.
Right.
So realizing like we don't know how long he's been in Brad's world long enough to form a movie career. Like, okay, so that made it a lot easier to wrap my mind around who he is in this in the scene and everything. The only part of it I really didn't like was just when Mobius snaps and just slaps him. It's like, really? You can't just close the fist for the punt for the hit.
Yeah,
you give him a little bitch slap and like. That was at least ask for some powder based. Or some shit.
I like that scene because. Thanks for the layup, by the way. I like that scene because it shows Mobius. He loves everybody that he works with. Like, we got to take it back to the first first season. I think it's first episode of the first season. Where Morbius is explaining to Loki, like, I love all this. Like, he loves his job. He loves the key lime pie. I love pie.
Yeah.
Calms him down.
I think nobody can convey a love of this place like Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson.
Like,
Owen
Wilson such a great
kills it. He's like, you know, like, he's like, don't have you ever read the handbook? Like, you know, he's like, you can't do that. Like, I mean, dude,
haven't memorized that.
Speaking of this,
can I play the clip?
Speaking of this scene before you play it, dude is trying to convince him that he just needs to leave his job. Like, he's like, he's like, fuck that, man. I fucking like my job.
I don't know
where this bitch is. I didn't ask you no questions, so, motherfucker, about my job.
No, like, issue with him hitting him. The fact that it was a little slap as opposed to, like, he pissed Mobius off enough. I expected that to be a full-on, like, let's take a tooth out punch. Yeah. It was the fact that it was a little slap and, like, not even a good slap, you know?
If he said something about a jet ski, he would have been fucking... Mm-hmm.
He'd be on the floor, man.
Yeah,
right.
On
the floor. Yeah.
She's nothing. I don't even know where to start with that, but you're... You're just a... You're a nowhere man.
You're a nowhere man. Look at it. That's what I like. I like that. Still I like little when he man. Slapped him too, because a slap is more disrespectful than a punch. Like, I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
And it is so weird. I don't know.
Okay, Billy from Power Rangers.
Man, you're a nowhere man.
You're a nowhere man.
Did you slap me?
Yeah, I thought that was, like, interesting that he got under Mobius's skin instead of Loki's, because we did get that really interesting, like that cool little monologue from Loki where he's like, I'm a bad guy. But I thought it was even more interesting that, you know, we get in under Mobius's skin because he actually is thinking about, he's trying not to think about the life that he could have had. He's like, oh, I might have had a good life somewhere else, and that's way more, you know, terrifying than just like in trying to enjoy the life that I have now.
Absolutely.
I liked that a lot.
I think also it's Mobius is such a good guy. It's challenging him to go out and try to see where he came from, but also it's challenging him in a way that he's like, I want to save the world. Like, I don't want this to end. I don't want everybody to live still, and the whole universe is going to explode if I don't get this task done. So he's got this rock in a hard place.
Yeah.
Motherfucking type situation going on. Stakes now, I love high stakes. You know what I'm saying? Wagyu beef. New York
strip. Yeah. Just out of reach. States.
The
just
ones reach. Is real high. I love real them motherfuckers, man. But damn, why you gotta do that? You gotta steal my butt-ums? Like, damn. Like, if the teleprompter says butt-um, he always steals my butt-um.
Ellipses, yeah. I just assume
it's cool, butt-um. Robin Sparkles.
No, I was gonna ask... how do y'all feel about, I want to ask y'all about some of the theories that are out there. The what do you call it?
Oh, I haven't seen. I haven't 42. Conspiracy seen any theories. Of those. I haven't seen any of the
theories. One theory is, yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. I don't want y'all studying for the test before I gotta hit you with the pop quiz.
Great teacher.
So yeah, how do you feel about the possibility that Ouroboram could be? Or Boris.
OB.
Could be the villain of this.
Oh, is series. That a theory?
It's a theory that's out there. It's some words that have been said.
I get why people would have the theory. I don't buy it.
You don't
I don't it. Think he's a villain. I would say that he's the key.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the golden child or like.
Like the key holder in Matrix
because
2.
Like he's the one that like we've seen
Asian?
That where's we can have him go back in time and remember stuff,
right?
So now I'm forming a theory because we find out in this episode that he's the one who wrote the handbook. Yeah, and you can have Loki go back in time and tell him change some the shit, handbook, and then have him change the handbook a bit. Ooh. In like a slightest weird way.
Ooh,
that right. Like actually, you know.
So you're saying that OB is not only like a good, like a seriously intangible character, but you're saying that he might even be a plot device.
He's a plot device. I mean, he's the Ouroboros.
Let me ask.
Which Ouroboros, for everybody who's watching and probably doesn't know, that's like the snake eating its own tail, you know, it that motherfucker goes on forever.
The which snake also that grows too big and circles the world. The I believe
timeline also goes into a circle. I don't know.
It's sure from Norse mythology.
I'm not sure if you guys know this, but Ouroboros is not a palindrome. So yeah, that's a nice little fun fact for you guys. Yeah.
Also, Ouroboros.
So it's also not a frog, in case you were wondering.
Also, Ouroboros is definitely a stripper. Somewhere down in the art district Louisiana. Of Los Angeles. Los Angeles.
Okay. I also think it's the new version of the T-Virus in Resident Evil 5.
Yes. Ouroboros is a sexual favor that you can purchase.
So, did you guys ever watch this show Miracle Workers?
No.
No.
That's also a good strip club. That's also a good strip club. Fantastic
show. OB is I like what Nine thinks it's going to be, and I agree with it in the sense like OB is Daniel Radcliffe's character from season one. It's this small thing that he does that ends up being able to save the day,
guys.
And I think it's exactly what I think fans. Nine, I think you got it perfectly, man.
For all of your Miracle Workers fans out there, let us know what you think.
Yeah, even all you Miracle Workers fans like me who've put it in your list for like 10 months and haven't watched it yet.
Shout out to all the other Miracle Workers who work long nights in the clubs
and have are, and their single pay, mothers
those are awesome. Pay their electric their bill with sweaty dollar bills.
They dry out. They dry out.
But you know what? Who else was also working miracles is Sylvie. You know, she kind of like gave the entire multiverse free will. So yeah, let's talk
more about Sylvie because Sylvie has a very interesting choice of job when she decides she's going to retire from fucking up the universe.
Yeah.
She decides she's going to work at McDonald's.
The job that I hated the most in my entire life.
the job most people hate all the time. But you know why? She wanted to work at McDonald's because she's British. I'm going to tell you, she doesn't understand the true struggle of being an American and having to work at McDonald's.
Especially back then. Jesus.
Especially back then.
They don't have any like making 84 cents
an hour. Well, literally only like kids worked there back then. Like it's like
look at her coworkers.
What did you think of this reunification of Loki?
Two Lokis.
I thought it was like, I don't know. She looks, I love Sylvie.
Okay. Yep.
She's cute as fuck.
Okay.
She's cute as fuck.
Yakubian queen. Yakubian queen.
I had an alternate version of myself that was like cute as fuck, then yeah, I'll probably do the Loki thing too. You know what I mean? Is that masturbation?
Do that. It's just masturbation.
Is that masturbation?
First of all, put that on a t-shirt. Is that masturbation?
Just have both of their faces on the.
I don't want to end up on any lists in my current life. I don't know where I would.
I like the idea of the shirt just having, is that masturbation in quotes? In quotation marks, and then after the quotes, it just says 900 yards.
Yeah, it's is that masturbation? Like 900 yards, it's a picture of both Lokis looking at each other, and
that would sell.
Is there a Loki like Happy Meal thing that they got going on? I feel like this is
it
must be. It must be, right? Because it's McDonald's, right?
I'm playing this clip of their reunited.
I am gonna get a Happy Meal later, though, after since you said something.
Love the music, Glenn. All
day, are you gonna order something? Well, what?
Can we talk?
My break's in 5 minutes.
So where are you going? If your break's in 5 minutes, then
I gotta. Hey, if she's like me, she's gonna go take a 5 minute shit before our break starts.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna get all this break. I'm not gonna shit on my break.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I do that too.
I get paid to shit.
Yeah, what the fuck I look like? They gonna take the money out anyway. What the fuck I look like taking the shit on my break? Fuck that.
But then they do like sort of reunite and they have like sort of this cute moment, but all is not well.
Is that, Alex?
As the like, what is it? The what's his name? Oh yeah, the fifth X-Men movie, X5. He said he's acting a little dodgy, and Mobius realizes that there's something awry.
Is that bad?
That's not good.
Oh,
apparently all the other like rogue TVA agents are trying to blow up all the multiverses. They're trying to create the sacred timeline, make the sacred timeline the only timeline once again, by blowing everything up.
That's right. Very weird incel vibes. I ain't gonna lie.
What did you think of this storyline, OB? Did you see this coming? Yeah, right. It's very Proud Boy.
I did not see this coming. I thought they were just going to be going and trying to murder the hell out of Sylvie. So I thought it was a good one. I also like that the lady running the whole like, let's destroy everything. Like, you just look at her and you're just like, you're evil.
Nazi.
Like, that actress is just like, you're clearly evil, which she's is probably hilarious. She's
the sweetest person ever.
Because one of the movies,
I don't know.
I don't know about that, but one of the movies on the list that I had to watch a couple days ago, she's the mom in The Witch, and she's a bitch in that too.
Oh, shit. Really?
Damn. Mm-hmm.
She's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she was Elsa.
Catherine's sister.
Yeah, Aaron. Yeah,
she's breastfeeding her 13-year-old.
Yeah, she's breastfeeding.
Yeah, that's her. She's
like,
that's
I made her. This like, she really likes having her boobs sucked on by things.
Yeah, she's making weird ass milkshakes, man.
Game of Thrones than The Witch.
That's why y'all come to Drunk Banthers. You know what I'm saying? We know all about the Game of Thrones. You know what I'm saying?
That's why she's trying to destroy Sylvie's timeline, because she doesn't want to have to make all that ice cream.
She's gonna die. We are all gonna die.
Exactly.
This is gone unless we.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I forgot Sylvie could do this until she did it right then.
Same.
Well, I did actually.
Probably how she got her job.
She mentioned.
That's how she learned the secret sauce.
Her and Loki, when they were talking earlier, I liked this moment specifically because Loki is like, you know, just touch me and like see my past. Like, your powers. And she's like, I don't want to do that. But now she actively does use the power because she's trying to make him
jealous.
I see this dude's past, but you're past.
Are you kidding me? She's
just gonna touch Brad.
She's trying to get a promotion.
You just gonna sit up in front of me and touch Brad, and you know I fucking told you
the wolf.
I wanted you to touch me.
Sylvie knows what she's doing. She's up for promotion. She's got to get that that next level. She wants to be, you know, drive-through manager. She knows what she's doing. Have you seen her name tag? She's got the 5 stars on it, man. She's working it.
Speaking of, I want to stay in McDonald's. At the end of the episode, it was at the end of the episode. The little kid who works there is like the manager, I guess. He's like, are you going to be here tomorrow? And she's like, yeah. But
is your mom on her way?
Yeah, is her mom? I'm like, yo, they must have that's got to explain itself away somehow next episode. Because
why?
They better not make Sylvie's son.
Like, yeah, why is she asking him if his mom's on the way? Why? It's like, they got a weird dynamic automatically off the rip, and he asked her if she was coming back tomorrow, like as if she doesn't come back sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, and then that's when we see that she's got the little time device on her, the
end all be all,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So she got the master pad.
Problem. You think he'll be in tomorrow though?
Yeah.
Cool.
Jack? Mm-hmm. Is your mom on her way to pick you up?
Yeah, she'll be here. I'm good.
That's interesting that you said that, Bill, because at first, now I'm on board. Now I can see like how weird that is. But at first, I was getting some a little bit of like some no hard feelings vibes.
Right.
Yeah. You hitting on this young boy, Sylvie? How old are you? 1,000 years old, right?
I just took it as, now Sylvie's actually like making connections with people, humans nonetheless, who season one, she didn't give a fuck about a single. She was killing them for like, hey, you know what? I need a little bit of a distraction. There's a bunch of fireworks. Now I'm going to kill those 3 kids.
I got two things can be true though. I think that is definitely true as well. Like she is definitely softening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
She's definitely coming to a point where, but that leads me to my next theory about this show. Is Sylvie in control of everything now? Is she the one who remains? Is she he who remains now? That's the first part of the question. Is Kang now the ally? And because we're gonna see Professor Timely,
right?
Victor
right.
Timely. We're gonna see him in this episode, the next episode coming up. And the question is, does it? No. I'm joking. the question is, do you believe that she's in charge and that Victor of Timely is gonna be one of the allies in this season?
That's an interesting question, because. You would think, because maybe it's conflicting, what's the word I'm looking for? Motivations, because one, he wants to rule over a timeline, or like all Kangs wants to rule. But then also some Kangs want to create the multiverse and have like the Council of Kangs.
Right. Yes. Right.
So, it depends Kangs. On which Kang that we are getting, right?
Right. Yeah. And are we getting a Kang before Kang? Right.
Mm-hmm. Because
Victor Timely in the comics is a variant of Kang, but he's like, he's not a variant of Kang. Excuse me. Kang goes back in time and has to, the way he figures, he loses to the Avengers in a battle, and then he's like, yo, the only way I can beat these fools is I go back in time and then like make sure technology drives towards me so that I can like end up beating these fools. So he goes back in time, creates a little, like, he had, you know, those little window doors, that the time doors that they have in the TVA. He like uses one of those to put in it, and he puts it in his closet so he can just come in and out of this universe every once in a while and just be like, I'm gonna go back home. This is just bullshit. They ain't got no showers here. So then he just
makes sense that they would get somebody who wrote for Rick and Morty to do this show.
And then then he pops back in every once in a while and he's like, yo, I'm Victor Timely and this is the things and the technologies and blah blah blah. I think they're gonna play on that a lot, but I'm not sure if this Victor Timely is gonna be the villain or a hero, because in the comics he was a villain. He never was not a villain.
How many episodes are we getting of this?
Probably 8. That's the standard.
That was the That's what they did last year.
The first season was 6.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He says 6.
Six episodes. Okay. Wow.
Ending November,
but they do vary in times. So in the time, like the length. So.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Like, I like that they're all hour long so far.
Yeah,
about an hour long, or at least
right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like 40, 45 minutes or whatever.
They've given us. I hope they only change is like maybe like instead of an hour, it's 47 minutes. Like, don't give us
a half hour episode.
Yeah, man. Right. You know, 22 minute episode. One of those shows did that. It was either like She-Hulk or something, but they only had like a 20-minute episode.
She-Hulk was okay with time. Like, you don't need to really, you don't need an hour long episode of She-Hulk.
No, yeah, you only need
30 minutes. I was fine with it being a half hour comedy. Yeah,
like, right, exactly.
But yeah, Loki, guys, put it in the comments. How are you guys feeling about season 2 so far? I guess we need to move on to Rick and Morty season 7.
Talk about the fucking Oppenheimer event that we got here and like this kind of whole reaction.
Oh yeah, yeah, we can talk. Yeah, yeah, let's talk about that real quick. Yeah, go ahead and play.
I thought it was just kind of like really. I was just like, oh shit, they are.
I don't get how it. Did I miss that? How did it happen? I thought they stopped them.
They could only stop them with so many. Like, they just started throwing grenades in a different one. So they didn't stop
all of them.
But some of them are still going.
Well, no, not anymore. By the end of this, there's only the sacred timeline.
Go to the end. Just skip to the. Because I'm pretty sure it's got like a few strains left.
So that's what I was thinking. I thought there were like 7, and I thought
because that's by how they the found end. That's how they found her. They found
what's her name? Renslayer.
Renslayer. They were to find Renslayer based off some other, because at the beginning of this episode, old buddy, what's his name? The guy, the little desk clerk guy. I can't remember his name, but
oh yeah,
he told somebody. I don't know. He told somebody that he couldn't locate
B-15.
Yeah, B-15. He couldn't locate Renslayer because Renslayer was scattered amongst the timelines, and there was too many timelines going, so he couldn't locate her exact position. But when these timelines receded, we saw that he was able to pick her up. That was actually the first thing that happened while they were like in awe of what was taking place. First thing that happened is that Renslayer popped up on the board, and we're definitely gonna get a lot of her next episode.
I feel you on that.
Well, I mean, I don't have.
Are you guys able to like discern any type of information from this? Like, I to can't. Know where she
no.
is?
No, man. Okay. This isn't new rock stars. We can't see all that.
I was just like, okay, well, I wonder where, when she is actually.
She's in the past. She's in the past. I know that much. Just from the trailers.
She's I'll say time. This. The last we see of the timelines and the splitting, at least as far as I can tell, there if there's branches left, there's only three branches left.
Oh, like,
yeah,
okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and I assume that Sylvie wasn't on the sacred timeline, but we'll see what happens next episode. You know, she's got the He Who Remains Tim pad in her possession. A lot of crazy stuff is going to be happening next next episode. So, guys, leave
indeed,
it in the comments.
Indeed.
What do you think?
It looked like Renslayer is like around here or whatever.
But that
whatever.
Yeah, that's a shitty.
Well, so
yeah,
if there's out. Gray, it's if she's there, she's pulling what Sylvie did, hiding in Apocalypses.
Yeah, she could be doing that.
Because the Grays are ones that are have been destroyed.
Well, we got to move on to another.
616, yes. That's all I noticed right here. It says 616, and we know that that's like the main.
Right.
That's comic-wise, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main one. Okay.
Seems like an ambiguous number, but whatever. Yeah, 616. I mean, I know that it's like means something nerd-wise, but like in the, the this universe seems kind of an ambiguous number.
The comics that we read are 616.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. No, I'm just saying it's like how do we arrive there? Mm-hmm. There's 615 other ones that just like this
there's,
is the one
there's though. Even more after.
But yeah, like let's move on to Rick and Morty season 7, episode 1. How Poopy got his poop back.
Producer T is up.
So the question that has been on everyone's mind, obviously, like after all the like the weird controversy of everything that's happened recently,
we will not go into that here. You can go at Nerds at Night and check out that information.
Well, obviously, what everyone's been thinking since then is like, did Mr. Poopy Butthole patch things up with his wife? What did you think
did
about
the poopy butthole patch things up? That is great. I'll give you a shot on that one.
We got that question answered. Producer T, how did you feel about just like this first episode, like your initial thoughts on season 7 premiere?
Man, I'm sad. We're gonna talk about like, boy, they replaced Justin Roiland. You can barely even tell, huh?
Oh yeah.
Why are we gonna like just let's pull the cat out of this bag? Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Hey, look, it just goes to go ahead. Drop them on.
Let's start it off with the story of how I met Justin Roiland.
Whoa,
talk about it. This was right before season 2 premiered. He was at a festival that I did transportation for called the Austin TV Fest. And so they are having their season 2 premiere there. And I had just watched season 1. It was my day off. And I was like, well, fuck yeah, I'm going to sit front fucking row because I know the person working the door. This is going to be for me. I enjoy this show and everything. And I go up after they're done with their Q&A and watching the episode. And I take a real terrible selfie with him that I still have that I'll post.
I thought Terry's gonna say I took a real Instagram bad shit.
And man, like talk
send
about
it to, you ever, you, send it to you my Instagram,
you,
Terry. And
you
I'll
know when you stand up or when you're with somebody and you smell them and you smell that weed and you're like, damn, is that me? Is that my shit? You know, as a stoner, you're like, damn, I thought I was like, you know, I didn't think I smoked that much. And I didn't. So I was like, that wasn't me. That was him. He smelled like a skunked out hot box. I know what my next move is going to be. Next time I see him, I'm going to ask him to smoke, right? So it's that night. They're at a party and we're at, God, what hotel is it held at? Not the Driscoll. The San Jack, I believe is the hotel. And we're at their bar. And I'm about to order me a beer. And I look behind me and I'm like, oh shit, there he is. He's right behind me. I'm going to order my beer. I'm going to play it cool and be like, yo, man.
Tom
and
Tom smells like shit.
You know, I'm going to do this. And as I'm about to order my beer, I feel a tapping on my shoulder and it's him. And he just stares at me blank, just straight in the face. Hey, man, you got some weed? So I'm like, oh shit, yes I do. So yeah, he buys my beer and everything and we just go out and back, and he does not stop doing the voices You don't even have to ask them. It's kind of annoying to a little boy. Yeah. They'll just hear the voices the whole fucking time.
Yeah, that was
he probably only asked you because you were black.
Yeah, that was one of the things I thought too that went through my head. I'm glad you said it. I didn't want to say it.
Oh yeah, I told everybody. Finally, look,
but I thought that too. I was like, he probably asked me because. Yeah,
always leave the controversial statements to me because I'm already thinking of them. I'm definitely.
We're all say thinking them. We're just waiting for you to say them.
Right, I'm gonna say them. I'm just gonna let you breathe for. I'm gonna let you cook first, and then I'm gonna.
We talked about Tara Strong a little bit earlier, and that was kind of my experience when I met her. I was like, oh, so you're just going to keep doing these voices, huh? I ain't even going to ask you to, but you're just going
to. Yeah, right, so I don't even have to ask you to do the invitations, huh? You just do them. You don't stop me. Okay.
The new actors.
I'm sorry. I just keep thinking about, like, all the people. It's just like, first of all, that's just like dealing with actors and comedians. Some of them be on. All the time. They don't never be off.
Stop. Yeah, it's kind of hard.
That's all. Yeah, because I was about to say something else, but I'll just paraphrase.
But yeah, like the duties for Justin Roiland have now been taken over by two up and coming voice actors. What?
Sorry, duties.
He called the shit poo.
What are their new names? I mean, the new actors' names.
They are Ian Cardoni and Harry Bell. Bedlin.
Bedlin.
Oh, no, Biden. No, Belden. Sorry.
Harry Biden Belden.
Harry Biden Belden and Ian Cardoni, who portray Rick Italian. And Morty. You guys can look up their real names. Like, I'm just butchering their
Rigatoni?
Pronunciation. That was yes, funny. Absolutely. But they portray Rick and Morty respectively. Dan Harmon, he had a quote in Vanity Fair talking about just like why they decided to go with two different actors. They said for sheer quality of life, it'd be easier for the amount of work required for both characters. We watched it over the years wear down Roiland's voice, and it felt unfair to do that to someone. So I thought that was cool that they went with two different actors. And like you said, Producer T, like it's you can't really tell the difference.
They said it felt unfair to destroy a human being.
You know? Justin was destroying himself. We're not.
I had to say it must have destroyed him. Let's just say from another source that I know that knew him well. Apparently, after a couple of years ago, he actually stopped smoking weed. But he moved on to a lot of other things, and he was not a joy to be around, which is why my friends stopped hanging around him.
Right.
Which is why I suspect why a lot of people were just like, when everything came up, they were just like, good riddance. We don't care if you win or lose.
Also, I think that's probably why a lot of those things ended up coming up, because, doing extracurricular activities. But in this episode... it's like we all have a sit down. I don't know if y'all think, well, excuse me, y'all didn't watch the episode, but I don't know if
people on the think bottom,
this, Terry or Alex, but I feel like this was a little bit of a shot at Justin Roiland. Like,
oh, 100%.
Poopy butthole, having to go to rehab, fucking. Remember, he went to, like, his wife broke up with him because he beat her up. Remember? Isn't that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, poopy butthole.
Assault allegations. Yeah.
Right. So, and actually, guess what? Me and Nine already figured out because we did it on the Nerds at Night. He was arrested for kidnapping. Mm-hmm. So, I think this was a big shot at Justin, but also at the same time, we love you, dog. Like, that's why you need to quit acting crazy.
And right, and they still kind of party with him. It's like, yeah, we party, but he's partying.
We're having two different parties right now.
Right? Yeah. You need to leave the party, man. Go home.
Just so everybody's on the same page, everybody who's watching hasn't read everything that's going on. Roiland departed from the show earlier this year amid allegations of the workplace toxicity, and since dismissed charges of domestic violence. Roiland, who was also replaced by Dan Stevens as the lead character voice on Hulu's animated series Solar Opposites has denied more recent allegations of sexual misconduct. All that aside,
we're not unpacking none of that.
Yeah, that's for a more serious podcast. It's called
the Gotham Gazette.
Yeah, check it out on Nerds at Night.
Right. I have also met Dan Harmon, and he's weird.
No, the guy that made Troy and Abed's weird? Who would have thought?
He's like Abed.
Yeah, which is funny because he wrote like Jeff Abed, to like, be himself.
You try to engage him in like just pleasantries, it does not work. You need to engage him on a specific topic that he likes, and then he will not shut up and go on about it like he's your best friend.
Yeah, I don't know.
That just sounds like you're talking to me for an hour.
Like, you can't do the hi, how's it going? Like, how you been? Like, what are you working on? He was like, nah. But if you talk to him about Montel Williams' acting career, go on all day with that man.
Amazing. But yeah, like these two new actors, they're kind of carrying a lot of weight. And with this new episode, it does feel a little weird because they're kind of throwing everything at you. It's kind of hard not to like this episode since we bring out back Bird Person and Gear Man and the Squanch, like Squanch. And Mr. Poopy Butthole. Like, they're throwing everything at. And just for good measure, spoilers, Hugh Jackman is also in this episode.
Glenn. We get Glenn the straight man, you know, just a normal, yep. boring
Glenn
guy.
Yeah, normal Glenn guy. Came back. But he was in there before, right?
He's been around, yeah.
Yeah. We got a good man. I like Glenn.
Did you like, Producer T, did you like this new episode? Do you feel like this is a good representation of how the season's going to go later on? Or do you think they just like, they're pulling out all their tricks in the first episode.
I like the lore of this show so much. So when they bring back old characters or tie in these older characters and keep bringing them on for new adventures and stuff, I actually kind of enjoy it more than the spinoff stuff. I know they don't like to be linear, and their whole thing is try to be against anti-linear, but when they are linear, I like them more, so... If this is how the new season's going to be, more with making connections and stuff and advancing their plot line and expanding on their universe, I kind of like, because like we see fucking Bird Person got his daughter back. So,
yeah.
That's cool.
He got custody. He got full custody. Got her out of prison.
Got her out of prison. So,
pretty
I
want to
see what that's going to be like. Are they going to be like fighting some space rebellions again? Or when are we ever going to see this Cthulhu monster?
That's gonna be the final season. Final season is when you'll see the Cthulhu.
Did you like this new season? The season premiere. However,
I loved it. I loved how they brought everybody back in, because all of the super nerds are like wanting to know all the answers right now.
Yeah.
And then they don't, I don't know why people fucking do that kind of shit. Like, you just want every question answered right now. So for what? So we can just not have nothing to fucking talk about for another 6 years or however long they're already extended for. Like, just shut the fuck up and watch the TV show, y'all. Shut the fuck up while grown folks is talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate how they just throw us in, you know, right into a situation like, They acknowledge that, like, they acknowledge the nerds. Like, Morty shows up and he's like, "Rick, what are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, you just missed it. I just found out who killed my wife and daughter." And then he's just like, "Oh, okay." But like,
he has a nice, nice way of exposition. Is like, this is where we're at in the storyline,
and also go fuck yourself, like, nerd.
It's a good, like, we haven't forgotten about you. That's obviously we'll touch on this season. Just be patient. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's also a jab at some people, because Harmon's talked about many times. He just reads tweets. I'm never going to say that other thing, but he always reads tweets. He always reads the tweets, and people are always like, what are the answers? Why have you do this episode? Where's Evil Morty? Like, he's like, dude,
fuck, man. I'm trying to tell a whole story. I'm not trying to tell just one story. Like, there's a lot of things that we can do.
Right.
So, and we want to do new stuff, right? We want to keep seeing shit grow. I want Rick and Morty to never go away like the Simpsons. I want it to never go away. I'm already fucking having to deal with Archer going away.
Yeah,
like, come on.
R.I.P.
Yeah, it's good. I'm kind of ready for Archer to go away.
It had a really good run, and you know, I do like it when things end before they overstay their welcome. But I do, I like where this season is going with these characters.
Squatching.
Yeah, I like where I squanch where it's squanching.
You got to squanch when you're gonna squanch, because if you don't squanch, you're all squanched up.
And it surprisingly, unsurprisingly, it still has the same tone where they can have all these silly things that are happening, but also have this undertone of like some pretty heavy serious shit. Like Mr. Poopy Butthole, he's going through a divorce, and that ain't no joke.
No.
It's pretty. He like kidnaps his kid in the middle of this. Yo,
best part of this. Yeah, first of all, he bout it. You already know he bout it. You seen him beat up the pizza man in the last season,
which I like that he called that back. He's like, you didn't see season 3.
Yeah.
He said, "Fuck around, and find out, bitch."
He got his ass beat though. That's
he still got them heads. But, yeah.
Hey, yeah, and let's just talk about that a little bit, because my God. The Predator. Predator PI. He hires a PI Predator to stalk his wife. First of all, don't hire a Predator to do nothing, because they're going to kill everybody.
Yeah. Or
apparently, fuck your wife.
Right?
He is a Predator. What would you expect?
Right? Because I remember they put in the stipulation, like, you have to pay him to not kill the person. I was like, why'd you hire a Predator? Like, if the person wants to hunt, you're gonna kill him. Like, oh, you pay him not to kill him.
Okay. Yeah. I like there's like, and if he keeps the cloaking device on, there's no license fee. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's a nice little nod there with the Predator PI. And with all these characters, like, you know, Rick is trying to get all of his friends. Yeah, he's weirdly the mature person in the situation, where he's trying to get all his friends together to talk about their friend's problem, but it's not an intervention. What did you think about just the culmination of the night and the, I guess, probably the best cameo of the episode? Hugh Jackman.
Like, it was a pretty, it's a good start to the season, right? Because they've had some kind of stinkers where the season started, and I was like, oh, this is kind of lame. And then it picks up, but I was like, man, this is a good pace for them to start building up, you know, not too crazy, but, you know, it's still like, it's going to show you how crazy things can get and will get. Gave homage to all the people from the past by bringing them up, more of establishing, you know, Rick's past and his friends group and what they've all been through, and
right,
kind of stick around for each other no matter what. Because, you know, him and Bird Person definitely been through some shit, and for Bird Person to be like, yeah, I'll still come out and hang out with you.
Right.
Oh, and like, I love the send off when they were saying goodbye, and he's like, Rick, it's been canonical. I appreciate that for them doing that. So I expect maybe the next episode is definitely going to be like a classic new Rick and Morty adventure with new characters and everything, and just, you know, back to that. And then probably maybe episode 3 might do that too, and then episode 4 we'll get some more linear storyline with probably evil Rick or evil Morty, one of the two, or something with Space Beth, I'm assuming, and Jerry, and the other universes.
Yeah, I do always like when there's a nice balance of the canonical stuff, linear stuff, and like these one-off episodes. Shout outs to Morgan in the chat. He said, if Rick and Morty start predicting the future, then I'm out. So I guess it's like, I don't want to get too close to being The Simpsons.
Going Simpsons on it?
Yeah.
I want him to be.
But yeah, I thought that this was a nice, solid episode as well. any got any final thoughts, Bill, before we get out of here on episode one of season seven, where you want the
somebody let me know in the comments if YouTube is still selling season seven, like, because last year season six was all I could purchase it on YouTube and it would come out early and it was all uncensored. Somebody make my life easier and look that up for me. I don't know. Put it in the comments.
Someone use Google for me.
Yeah, do it.
Are you also, expert Googlers and pirates out there? Let us know in the comments.
Also, I agree with Terry. This is a great episode to introduce people right back on into it. You know what I'm saying? Season seven is going hard. We got people on the case. And we got the documents.
Yeah, it's definitely still funny, still has a great tone. As Dan Harmon and the other showrunner I can't think of right now is like saying they were writing season nine when Justin Roiland mm-hmm. exited the show. So there's no reason for the tone to change dramatically now mm-hmm. that there's different.
And if
different
it does, I mean, the studios got involved. And
that's why. They're like, let's change everything.
Bill's arch enemy.
Adult Swim doesn't give a fuck. You know, no, they don't. People do their goddamn thing.
Unless Jeff Bezos buys them some between now and season nine, nothing should change.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of bad things about the Adult Swim studio at William Street and all them. They're not real fun to work
with. Yeah, bring back Venture Brothers, motherfuckers.
Right?
In a few years, it's gone. They ended it.
In a few years, I'm
telling them to bring it back. Fuck them. And also go watch the Venture Brothers movie so we can get Venture Brothers back. It's on YouTube. Go watch it.
But I know that Nine, Obi, you guys haven't watched the newest season of Rick and Morty, but do you guys have any thoughts about just like how you like anything you're excited about for the new season?
Is Beth in Space Beth? Is that masturbation?
Yes. That's going on t-shirt too. Is that masturbation? We can just come up with a bunch of different characters. Is this masturbation?
Oh man, there's gonna be so many Kang shirts. Obi, Eddie.
Oh yeah.
Same question.
We need to get on that now.
Same question. Is that masturbation?
Always. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've never watched any Rick and Morty, so I have no thoughts.
Oh damn. Okay. Well, we still love you, Obi.
We forgive you.
But producer T, do you have any final thoughts on this opening of season seven of Rick and Morty, and any expectations on the season going forward?
I'm just looking forward to see what they're doing. I kind of hope we get to see where Evil Morty went to and why his portal was like a different color. As you notice, all the portals are always green, but when he got when he got outside of the infinite timeline, he went to a different portal. And since the infinite timeline's like broken, does that mean like other people can now like portal travel? Because there's like an evil Jerry, Doofus Jerry, that's like I heard about the comic
book. I think that is basically what's going to happen. I think we're going in somewhere into that realm. When they decide that they're going to talk about Evil Morty again.
All right, because I feel like the infinite, what do they call it? The infinite, the finite curve.
The finite curve. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that like protecting them from also like being intruded from other universes too?
It's basically a barrier, but they sealed
it up in the first episode of season six, right? That was what happened, right?
They fixed it then.
So there is no.
I feel like that was like just like a tear in the universe that they made.
Basically, yeah.
Right.
But like the infinite curve is kind of broken. So now all the other universes could just. All the universes where Rick isn't the smartest person in the universe.
Right. Yeah, especially since, like, if Evil Morty has figured out a way to get out, then he has that information to probably figure out a way to get back in. So that could be a
definitely. Thing. And, you know, portal fluid chains. That's why Rick had to recreate portal fluid in season six.
Right.
So there's so many things that we got to get to. But we didn't even touch on it this episode, and it was
still dope episode. Like, so that's why I love this show. Anything could just be like, you could just talk about anything and it's going to work on this show, as long as the characters are maintaining the same shtick that they've been doing for the last 6 seasons. Again?
Like, what's Mr. Poopy Butthole's first name?
Mister?
No, it Warren. Wasn't it Warren?
Warren.
I'm pretty sure it was Warren.
Yeah. We get that little tidbit that, like, that's not Mr. Poopy Butthole. Obviously, that's just his last name.
And it makes
when do the episodes come out?
Sundays. And it makes you wonder, like, how did he get Mr. Poopy Butthole as a nickname?
I don't think it's a way you want.
Long story.
It's about 4 inches long.
Oh, man. On that note, I guess we need to go ahead and get out of here. But before we do, let's go ahead and round out
Go ahead.
What round out is also checkable. Just keep,
look, I said never mind. Just...
Producer T, where can the people find you on the interwebs?
If you're looking for where my next clone's gonna appear at, which is
Japan,
I'm gonna be saying things like parlez-vous anglais, no parlez-vous français, no oui oui.
Japan.
Follow me on Terry F Photos. And of course, if you're trying to get some Atlanta branded pens, you can go to tpens.com. Yes, we changed our name from Pendependence because that was a bitch and a half to spell. And so tpens with a z.com. It's way easier to look up.
Cool.
That's right, y'all. Tpens with a z.
Guys, check it out. And Obi, where can the people find you on the interwebs?
Oh, well, they can always try to Skype me at Don Cheadle's driveway at littledicky2.com. It's because of the hackers.
Yeah.
You can try and find Jeff Madel on Facebook at Madel Jeff on Instagram. But probably the easiest way is just catch me doing some podcasts on Nerds at Night and or 9 Nerd Yards on YouTube.
Dope. And I will actually confirm everything he just said. It's all true.
Yeah, that is all factual. Yeah, we confirmed it with Washington Press, with Washington Post, Washington Press.
Got the fact checker down here.
That's another sex position. Okay, that was say that. Another one. I'll tell you, I seen that one. The other ones you were saying, I never seen those, but the Washington Press.
Never do the Washington Press when it's hot outside. It gets messy. 9, where can the people find you on the interwebs?
Thank you for asking, my dear boy. You can find me on 9 Nerd Yards, where I will be, just dropping videos and hanging out, chilling with my homies. And Nerds at Night, this is it right here, where you can find all of the crew. We are going ham with the Gotham Gazette. Look out for a lot of segments coming out tomorrow. And that's hosted by our favorite cousin's favorite cousin. You know who his name is. Hit me up on Discord, all of the things, TikTok, Instagram. It's just 9 Nerd Yards, Twitter,
You know what time it is. Go over there and follow him. Yeah, we over there at the Gotham Gazette beating the pavement, fucking getting to the real nitty gritty to everything, man. Right, we need nitty gritty t-shirts.
Oh yeah, we do need we need so many t-shirts. Noah's gonna be we're gonna run his little ass ragged. He's gonna be he's gonna be drawing so much shit.
Pause.
just running his ass ragged. You should not do that, Jim.
Back like, wait, what did they just say?
I thought he was your friend.
But guys,
just calls up. Listen, I can't say why, but I don't want to work together anymore.
Guys, thank you guys for listening to the Drunk Bandits podcast. We do this every once in a while, so go ahead and leave a like and subscribe so you can get updates on new videos. Check us out on YouTube, Live, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Twitter, IG, TikTok, likewise, all the internet things at the Drunk Bandits. Until next time, stay safe, my little Loki clones, and may the Force be with you.